All righty, we know the election is over, and now it is time to get down to business. And it is the focus of a spotlight segment on Long Island this morning. That's where we bring in the controller of Suffolk County. His name is John Kennedy. Always a welcome addition. Sir, how are you?
I'm fine this morning, Jay. Doing fine. How about yourself?
I am okay. Thank God it's Friday, as I say today. But it is all good. You know, John, I'll tell you this. You know, we'll concentrate on stuff going forward. But, you know, it always happens. You know, you prepare, you get ready, at least on our end, for these elections. You know, we focus in on the interviews and everything else. And, you know, the Tuesday in November comes and goes, and then we have to kind of get back into a regular mode of thinking once again. Give us an idea, day of and everything else. We got the releases. You went and voted early and everything else. And it's kind of like a sitting and waiting type approach, correct?
Well, yes, although my volunteers, and by the way, first of all, let me begin by thanking your listenership and everybody out there that came out to the polls. You know, we turned about 117,000 voters. And I had volunteers, Jay, that were the most dedicated. Let me tell you, folks that were out there on the street, really battle-tested, hardened folks that we did pretty much every possible venue and event and took every opportunity. You know, I'm a numbers guy, so let me give you a few numbers because I believe those are the things that don't lie. We prepared and passed 80,000 POM cards, information cards. We had another 20,000 of our printed material that we distributed hand-to-hand, face-to-face. We had over 100,000 personal contacts over the course of the campaign. Look, I went up against some very, very challenging opposition, as I knew it was going to be, not because of the effectiveness or the job or the record, but a war chest by self-serving vested interest and a campaign that was just, you know, full of lies. I got accused of giving my wife $1.4 million, Jay. I'd be in Dannemora now doing time if that was the case. But unfortunately, this county executive has no interest in the truth. He has no interest in discussing issues. All he does, quite candidly, is he spends tremendous amounts of money perpetuating a myth. And that's the same thing that brought the city of New York to its knees under Mayor Beam back in 1975. So I'm proud of the job that we did. I'm proud of the work that we did. I was disappointed, you know, as things fell off. I was disappointed. My hometown, you know, went for me in a big way. I did not get the level of support from some folks that I hoped that I would have. Ed Romaine, Angie Carpenter, and Chad Lupinacci. Outstanding. They were out there for me every day and worked real hard. Others, for whatever reason, decided to sit it out or collaborate with the other side. That's a head scratcher for me.
You know, and John, I said this. You know, after the day after, and I mean this. You know, I mean, you had early voting that took place here on or around October 26th. It was.
Yes.
Personally, I was very disappointed. In the turnout. You know what? People have to start to wonder about themselves. They have to care a little bit more. You cannot have, if you have 900,000 registered voters in Suffolk County, John, you can't have 18%, only 18% come out. I mean, when are we going to care and tell and at least show me something? And, you know, everybody said non-federal year and everything else. To me, and I stated this at the beginning of 2019. This, to me, was as an important election season as there ever will be. And you'll tell me next year, okay, presidential, congressional, I get it. But I said, I am on record saying 2019 will be as important a year as ever. I was very disappointed about the turnout. What about that aspect?
Well, Jay, listen, I agree with you, and I think what happens is, I don't know if people are just, you know, they get too caught up and are too busy, you know, in their own lives. I will tell you, now here's one where I know my opponent did not do it except for the cameo shot with AME on a day of a Labor Day. We worked train stations Oh, man. You've heard me talk about this before, the trade parade going out of Ronkonkoma. Nothing like being down there on a platform at 4:15 in the morning. But we worked several train stations, and, you know, there's things that stick in your mind. And we were down in Babylon. We did that twice. And it was a guy going up the escalator, and he basically, you know, not only did he not take the palm card, he literally turned as he was going up the escalator and said, "I don't vote. All politicians are crooks." And I just said to myself, you know, above all else, I got to be honest with you. 43 years of public service, there's many, many, many of us that do this day in and day out. And the fact that we have a handful of individuals that wind up in cuffs, that taint that sense for the public, is just absolutely, you know, it's horrendous. Further to your point, the importance of this election, it can't be minimized. It can't be underestimated. Jay, we are going up on a short-term borrowing next year. The borrowing and the ratings are kind of like one of the absolute disinterested arm's-length acid tests to the job that the CEO is doing. Are you doing a good job? Are you doing an average job? Are you doing a bad job? If you preserve status quo, maybe, you know, you're phoning it in. If your ratings go down, if your borrowing goes up, you're doing a bad job on the behalf of the public. And that's what the public has put back in. They've embraced a bad job. It's unfortunate. It was 30,000 voters. Think of that, the Delta. Out of 900,000 eligibles. 30,000. Several of them probably with, you know, out-of-county jobs, skin in the game. Didn't want to see any change. Didn't want to see any consolidation. Didn't want to see any, you know, let's get under the hood in some of the areas where we're crying out. 30 million in overtime out of the PD. 30 million out of the sheriff's office. Look, so what will happen, unfortunately, is the things we talked about will just increase. More and more people will talk to us now about their exit strategy. More and more homes are going to be going on the market. And we will continue to become something that none of us lived during our lifetime. We were working class, middle class area. Great place to raise kids. Great place to have, you know, good quality of life. And that will be further and further diminished by either the well-to-do or everybody on the dole. And that's I certainly will never give up trying to combat that. But unfortunately, it's some powerful forces on the other side.
Mr. John M. Kennedy is the Suffolk County Comptroller. You know, John, I said this way back when you announced, whenever it was, January, February, and I, you know, we saw a couple other people kind of throw the proverbial hat into the ring. I know a lot of people were not juiced up by that. But when you announced, we got a lot of reaction. You know, we finally had a guy, according to many, you know, who's going to get right into the crux of it all. The numbers. This is a man who, you know, who knows the ins and outs from a fiscal standpoint. A lot of people are jazzed up about that. When you look at everything, and I say this, John, every election year, and it always comes down to dollars and cents. When I see an incumbent have what, $2.3 million in the bank, and when I see a challenger have maybe, I don't know, a little less than $500,000, whatever it was, you know, to me that says something. With that being said, if you could change an aspect of that going back 7-8 months, how would you do it? If you could somehow level the playing field from a spending standpoint, is there anything different when you look back as far as what you would change in order to gather a little momentum, dollars and cents?
You know, Jay, listen, it's just part of the process, and it's a healthy part of the process. And I've talked to a lot of my folks. You know, my chairman, Jesse Garcia, he did a great job. You know, I had Frank Teneri and Frank McKay. I mean, I was proud and honored. Both those lines came out. They were great lines. You know, look, developers weren't writing me, you know, $500,000 checks. I didn't get money from Jerry Wolkoff, but I wouldn't take a dime from Jerry Wolkoff. You know, when you have an elected who's self-serving and whose agenda is to garner as much campaign cash as he can, and his job, you know, kind of the public is second, third, and 99th. that's foreign to me. I mean, you know, I've been in elected office for 15 years, and I've never tried to sell my office to the highest bidder. You know, if that's what it took for me to go ahead and build a bigger war chest, then I was the wrong hombre. I'm just never going to go ahead and pursue that and make any office that I'm in an office for sale. But what I do think is, and by the way, let's make sure that we understand the numbers. 2.3 or 2.4, he shot out of his own campaign account. The PBA threw another $400,000 in. And AME contributed significantly. So, in fact, we probably went up against $3 million. You know, look, in retrospect, you know, if I was making the same decisions now from where we were back then, you know, would I have done it again? I'm never going to be deterred by money, Jay. I have always run as an underdog. I've always run, you know, believing in, you know, the rank-and-file folks that are out there who do come out, and they did come out. They came out, and many of them, I got messages from, you know, all over the place about folks that were genuinely disappointed because, as you said, what I did is I put forward a platform for change. I talked specifically about $50 million in reduction in the 2020 budget. My opponent not once, ever, never talked about doing anything that remotely approached addressing, you know, the financial train wreck that we are. You know, he babbled about, you know, ancient history, and he talked about a fictitious $500 million that he walked into, you know, post-Levy. That was all a lie and a facade. He weaved a bunch of nonsense, and it got to the point where after the third time going head-to-head with me, he wouldn't appear with me anymore because he had nothing. He had absolutely nothing to offer constructively. And candidly, having spent there for 8 years, you heard me. I called for him to resign. Absolutely. Any elected official, that's all they can point to after 8 years. Not only should they have not been running for re-election, they should do the right thing by the public and resign. But, you know, you can see this guy's got only one interest, and that's him and his, you know, inside collection doling out fat raises. And oh, the bonuses. That's the other one that I got to talk about. So in print, I got accused of taking bonuses. I've been a municipal employee for 43 years, Jay. There is no such thing in government. He didn't just bend the truth. He flat out lied and lied repeatedly over and over and over again. And kind of like the piece de resistance was referring to me and my family. I could care less. Listen, I'm an old man with a thick skin. But he called my wife and kids pigs. That's the distinction he owns. I never attacked his wife once, even though he didn't do a nepotism resolution when she was Parks Commissioner. He's actually subject to a misdemeanor. But, you know, what are you going to do? I don't control the other side. All I can do is control my side. People wanted me to go negative hard, and I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep it about the issues.
You did the right thing.
We need to talk about the issues going forward.
And you did the right thing, and I came down hard on him. You know, to me, there's a line you cannot cross. Where's the integrity these days regarding going at it in a campaign, doing it the right way? Where's the decorum? You know what? It was out the window here. I'm sorry. When I see a man's family being depicted of pigs rolling around a trail, I'm sorry. That's crossing the line, John. That's crossing the line. And I give you a lot of credit because, you know, you kind of held your own there. I don't know if I would have been a better man, to be honest with you. To me, there's a line you cannot cross. You cannot cross that.
No. He projected. He simply projected. And, you know, I agree with you that each of us is supposed to listen. In my political career, I've had average races, and I've had some really tough races where previously I was being challenged by my own party. You remember that going back 10 years ago. And even then, I never went at some of the more low-life personal sides of some of my opponents because I believe the public deserves for us to talk about what we'll do with the opportunity they give us and how we will serve the needs that they bring to the table. Anybody who says that they got an overwhelming mandate to continue building, you know, four-story suburban ghettos is really tuned out, and I don't think has a clue what the public actually wants at all, but more importantly, could care less.
listening to John Kennedy. And I'll say this before we move forward. You know, I thought people would kind of get the crux of it all regarding numbers, you know, whether it's the red light camera deal. If they listen to this program, they know. I mean, you had one seat. It looks like that's going to change in the legislature. We'll keep an eye on that. But when you see $100 million or so increased fees, you know, parks, burglar alarm, the red light camera stuff, you know, to me, you know, bond ratings. Now, listen, it affects all you. To me, it's about the entire picture from an economic standpoint. When you throw all the ingredients of this nature into a bowl, it has to hit home. It hits everybody's pocket one way or another. You want to tell me about taxes and everything else? What about the subsidiary stuff? What about these red light camera things? Okay, when are we going to like learn? When are we going to figure out when you spend $250,000 on a study, and instead of halting and caucusing to figure out, okay, 60% increase as far as some of the major intersections, we need to talk. No, we're going to streamline the program nonstop. Forget it. It's stuff like that drives me crazy. If the numbers are there, the $2 billion in debt, the $100 million annual deficit, the bond rating about to go to number 8 downward, to me, at least it's somewhat alarming. If you are somewhat intelligent, you have to figure out here. Do you not think that people got the crux of it all in the messaging as far as the numbers were concerned?
What I think, Jay, is that, listen, I did so many Meet the Candidates, and I did so many civics and so many other types of informal exchanges. And I will tell you, I did make Traffic Violation Bureau, the overhaul of it, and a hard look at the red light camera program. One of the many, you know, points that I focused on. Here's the ultimate irony. So 5 days after election, County Executive Ballone released an RFP to solicit a law firm to start Boot and Toe. Not only did they not get that, we are actually, the County of Suffolk is impacting minority communities. I was genuinely embarrassed. I actually, when I sat in Brentwood, the Brentwood Chamber, which, by the way, my opponent didn't show up. He actually sent a surrogate. I had never seen that before in a Meet the Candidates. He sent some poor woman to read off an iPhone. But the fact that we have the lion's share of our red light cameras in marginal to economically challenged and predominantly minority areas is, you know, that's grounds for a federal lawsuit. I don't understand how any aspect of government actually genuinely embraces that. The firm that operates these cameras, they are literally out of control. I have to tell you, day one, I would have ripped that contract to smithereens. I would have dragged these mutts in. I would have lopped off 25 to 50 cameras right off the top. I would have taken a TVB, which runs like a banana republic. Fielding Mellish would have a field day down there. And I would have ripped that to smithereens and put some genuine arm's length oversight into it. And, you know, 30,000 people said, you know, party on, dude. Let's keep status quo. It's frightening. It's frightening how little folks believe that they can even effectuate change by going to the polls. That's really where you begin to say to yourself, good God, what have we done? We've done nothing but promote apathy and a prevalent belief that no matter what people do, they're screwed. It's frightening. But, you know, look, we're auditing TVB now. I'm expanding the scope of the audit. We're going to get into the validity of the contract and some of the other stuff that we do there. We're still auditing homeless housing agencies. Like I told you, it's like an auditor's field day. It's a turkey shoot for us. Millions and millions and millions of dollars that are going out fraudulently in the area of homeless housing. And we got a new commissioner who actually came from the agency whose subsidiary owes us $1 million too. I got to be honest with you. It defies logic that we can continue to lumber on. I am grateful, though. Here's what I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for the fact that we're going to pick up another Republican with the Lindsay seat. We got a Republican supervisor out in Riverhead. It's axiomatic now that locals embrace Republican governance at a local level. And I'm hoping that we can get some dialogue going with the other side and actually look to revise that 2020 operating budget. Otherwise, we will just continue. The lawsuits are going to prevail. You know, the $400 or $500 satisfaction of mortgage, that's going to be thrown out in court. It's inevitable. That's going to blow another hole in the budget. The budget looks like Swiss cheese now. And very shortly, it's going to be nothing but gaping open chasms with this effort to attempt to continue to try to spend and please everybody. You can't do it. It's an impossibility.
John, with that being said, you know, I've said this for a long time. You know, we live, eat, and breathe it on a daily basis here. Maybe we recognize it a little bit more than the average Joe out there, but we see it on Capitol Hill, the divide. We see it in Albany, and we see the trickle-down effect into the local side of things. And, you know, we know that a lot of things don't get done. It's almost like it's a member of one party versus the other party. It's not the fact of working together anymore to try and resolve issues. We don't have that anymore. But the overall question I have for you is, do you feel this could change? I mean, can the comptroller now work in some sort of fashion with the county executive for the next couple of years, or is that completely out the window now?
You know, a lot of people pose that question to me, and I guess it would be something where, I don't know, listen, I said on election night, somebody posed that to me. I waited for 5 years for a call from him. He never called once. I sought some basic fundamental assistance with a few things in my office, and I got met with the hand. Going forward, do I see working with him? Anything that he's interested in, he can put in writing. Do I think that he has any interest in getting, you know, the facts or actuality or where things are? The fact that we barely cover payroll, the fact that we still have vendors that are being jacked up on a daily basis, the fact that he still attempts to go ahead and spend beyond the capital funds that we have. So, no. Why would I think he'd change his behavior? No, as a matter of fact, I think he's foolish enough to believe that he can do more of it. I you know what? Like an alcoholic who returns, sometimes you got to let him hit bottom. And maybe that's where this is going. I don't know.
John, I'll say this, and I said this for a long time. Excuse me. Pardon me. I'm suffering from a throat issue today. But I said this for a long time, and that was this private letter ruling. You know, to me, from an objective standpoint, if you could have gotten a decision from the Internal Revenue Service folks talking about, remember the 59 homes and the septic grants and everything else and the 1099s and everything. If you would have gotten a firm decision, I can't believe we haven't gotten one yet. My goodness. We have had congressional people on the IRS's behinds for the last 3 or 4 months already. When are they going to come up with a firm answer? I'd like to know. But I always said if you could have had something of positive nature, that might have turned things a little bit. You ever think about that?
You know, listen, the IRS has come back and forth. That might have. But again, you know, here's the thing that I would say there. So it had a direct impact, or has a direct impact, for a handful of folks. Do I think that that's a prevalent issue here in downtown Nesconset or maybe over in Greenlawn or places like that? Probably not. If I was a Upper West Side Manhattanite who got the benefit of $30,000 off the government to go ahead and put one of these Rube Goldbergs in my front yard out in, you know, Springs or Amagansett or something like that, maybe I'm concerned. But then again, they all came out and voted over early voting. We gave them a $5 million opportunity to truck out here to go ahead and jack the elections again with no regard, no loss, no whatever. Listen, let's not forget, he sued me on two audits that we're attempting to do, too. That boondoggle at Ronkonkoma, where he breached the contract on the solar panels, cost us $15 million, and he's talking about a stadium for, whoever the hell is going to come in there, rollerblade or rugby. that's never going to happen. And by the way, that was one of the things that I encountered. You know, all this hue and cry from the neighborhood. Every chamber and civic that I went to down in the, you know, Islip, Ronkonkoma area, not a single person's interested in that. Not a single one. And, you know, the selection for the vendors. Listen, we still have no shortage of vendors that are screwing us, you know, when it comes to our parks operations and some of the other things that we do. Hell, he orchestrated a press conference along with our Smithtown supervisor up in front of the St. James General Store. This thing needs a coat of paint. What an embarrassment. We stood up there, he gave a weather report, and we were in front of a county facility with the paint peeling off it. I've raised $4 million a year additional in hotel motel, and we can't even get a couple of guys to throw a coat of paint on a general store. It is more than comical. It is pathetic, the lack of actual attention to day-to-day operation and maintenance anywhere you go. The people really should be suspect and absolutely reviled by what they get in the way of any county service at this point at all, because it's essentially nothing.
John, I want you to try and enjoy the holidays, the rest of the year and everything else. We look forward to 2020. Hopefully it's going to be a good year. I know we can't take many more pitfalls.
In fact, I'll tell you, I'm eager to come out to you. We have three audits in the healthcare area that we're going to wind up revealing shortly. We just nailed Blue Cross Blue Shield for about a quarter mil. We have another one out the door shortly, and our prescription drug provider. For the first time, we're current on audit of all of the providers for our, actually it's 48,000 lives through our healthcare force. As I said, we got TBB underway. PayMySuffolkTaxes.com, the online app is kicking in outstandingly. We have several hundred payments now, millions that we've taken in through implementing, you know, effective technology instead of some bozo working out of the trunk of the car who's a friend of the county executive. So I'm excited. We're going to have great things in 2020, and we'll keep doing the job we're supposed to do on behalf of the public.
And we will certainly be here with you. We can't thank you enough for a couple of minutes. Enjoy the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, the whole nine yards.
Jay, you too. Take care and be well and feel better. Go drink some tea and honey.
I'm trying. But you see what happens when the wife gets sick? I get sick.
Uh-oh.
So
yeah,
you see.
I do know that.
I was dead in the water today.
Take care and be well.
But the show must go on. Thanks again, sir. There you go.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.